less than an hour left here on After Hours. JT, what are you going to do with the quick night tonight? Are you going to catch a flick with the lady? You going to relax? You going to go to bed early? You going to watch Colorado Boise? How's the evening go for JT Noah tonight?
Yeah, so I won't be with the lady. She's still at college in Warrensburg.
Okay.
I'm going to go from here, go to the gym, work out, watch. I'm going to watch the Boise-Colorado State game, go home, probably finish the game, then take the shower, then lay down, go to bed, and be a, I believe I'm tomorrow a social studies teacher. So there you go. I told the secretary, I said, hey, listen up. If the kids are good and the game's getting good, the TV's going to be turned on and I ain't going to have any problem with it. she said, I didn't hear a thing from you.
Yeah, you could do a social studies topic involving the tournament in March for the basketball thing.
Oh, for sure. Especially like, oh, wow. Tennessee's losing. Uh-oh, the downfall of Tennessee and how they still can't win a tournament game.
Grambling State trying to make a comeback, now down 9 with about 12 minutes and 20 seconds left. It is 45 to 53, Montana State. Boise and Colorado coming up on the other side of that. But it's 7 o'clock, not 8 o'clock. Let's do the out of left field question. An expedited show tonight, so no 8 o'clock question. We do the 7 o'clock out of left field question tonight. The coin flip has been made. JT, you've won the toss. Would you like to receive or to defer when it comes to the question tonight?
So I usually defer, but I think this one I can take on without having an answer from you first.
Okay, and the question tonight is, if animals could talk, which animal would be the smartest?
And I think it's... I'm not going to overthink this. It's going to be the easy answer. It's going to be a monkey.
Okay.
And the reason is everyone keeps saying we're humans are monkeys in a sense, or monkeys are humans. So I would believe they're the smartest. I mean, they know how to open a banana.
Yeah.
I know they might eat their own poo.
They do that.
That's okay.
I've smelled it.
I've seen babies do the same thing.
Can't stare at them.
Cannot stare at them. They can't get aggressive. I wouldn't get on their bad side.
Right.
But I'm telling you, I think they're pretty smart. I mean, have you seen? They actually opened a banana from the other side than what we do.
Right.
So I think I would go with monkey.
They say that's the proper way to open a banana.
I know. I still can't figure out how to open it that way. Can you?
No.
Okay. All right. I'm glad I'm in the same boat.
I think the other obvious answer, in my opinion, are dolphins.
Okay, that's a really good one, too.
I think dolphins would be, especially, like, if they're able to talk. Because I think there are some animals that if they talk, they might be a little stuck up. Like, I think a raven might be stuck up. You know?
A lion, maybe?
Lion might be a little stuck up. Dolphins, I feel like, would just be the person that, like, no matter what, they're kind. They're just going to be a nice person to talk to. Hey, how do I get to Sydney? Oh, you take this way, down this way. You'll be right there. Boom. That's how you get it. I was just with Frank last weekend. We took this. I just feel like dolphins might be able to just really get you where you need to go. 913-586-7610. If animals could talk, which animal would be the smartest? From the 913, they're going with an eagle. I feel like an eagle might be a little stuck up.
I was thinking of maybe, isn't the parrot the one that can also, like, talk? Yeah, maybe he might be smart.
But they just repeat, really. They learn phrases, right?
Okay, I don't know. I don't have a parrot. I always thought, I thought a rabbit would be a really smart person. Like, wears a little top hat.
Yeah.
Walks around, hey, yeah, you want to go to downtown square? Yeah, all right, let's go, buddy. And brings a cigar with him with the top hat.
Somebody from the 913 says, I see this not as a question of who's the closest to humans, but smartest. I'd like to hear from a chameleon. They always know how to blend in, you know? I think the octopus wouldn't be stuck up. I think that they would just know. But, like, they would sound stuck up. Like, they're the kid that you would ask a question to in class, and they'd be like, yeah, you take this over here, you move this number here, and then you divide by that, and then look at there. Octopus would be a pretty smart answer. Look at the escape tactics of an octopus. I've seen them. I've seen an octopus on a boat and somehow get out underneath the crevice and, like, somehow be able to move around. Plus, like a chameleon of the sea, they can change their colors to their surroundings. Elephants, because they never forget and would have some great stories like a grandpa.
So I see someone says that they think a flamingo would be really stuck up. I'll back that up, and I bet an ostrich would be really stuck up.
Correct.
And an emu, oh my.
Yeah, you know an ostrich is stuck up.
Oh yeah.
They got that beautiful backside. They know they're a pretty bird. They got the fast speed. Don't they lay like the biggest eggs too? Like an ostrich egg is like the size of your head.
Oh yeah, they're huge.
Can you eat an ostrich egg? Like, can you eat those?
Yeah, you can eat them.
Okay. Crows, they're already very smart. If they can't open a nut, they will leave it in the street for the cars to run over it and then come back and eat it. And if you're a Richard to one crow, they will tell their other crow friends about how crappy you are. Yeah, crows are, they're different, man. Like, there's a tree in my backyard that only crows can be at, and when another animal's around it, they are the loudest, meanest, territorial thing I've ever seen in my life. One night, this is a true story. One night I was sitting out there and I'd had a few. I probably should have gone inside, but it was nice. And I had one left. And I started hearing it. It was like a Game of Thrones episode, man. It was like, like nonstop. And I was like, what in the hell is going on? I'm like looking at my beer like, am I drinking the right one? Am I drinking this? Is this still 5%? Dude, there was an owl and another tree that was in the crow tree. And out of nowhere, this owl swoops down in my backyard. Full on wingspan out. And the crows just went quiet. Kicked them out of their area. Like 15 of them, dude.
I see the killer whale on there. And I've seen so many videos of how smart these animals
are.
The orca.
Yeah.
Like how if it sees a seal on an ice, wave it over, or smash it to open it up.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty smart right there. Also, Grambling State is now on an 11-0 run.
Yep, they're only down three.
Insane.
Do we live bet it?
I don't trust Grambling.
Okay.
I don't know about them being in their first year in the tournament, first time ever. It's just, well,
seem
okay,
to be doing
Montana,
all right now.
Montana State's throwing this away.
According to a list, the smartest animals are as follows: dolphin, octopus, rat, dogs, ravens, bees, gorilla, elephants, pigs, squirrel, pigeon, African gray parrot, whales, chimpanzees, orangutan, crows, raccoons. I feel like raccoons would be kind of cool to hang out with.
Oh, dude. Yeah, they'd be really cool.
I feel like raccoons might be somebody that you'd be able to, like, you wouldn't, like, go out with them all the time. They're that friend that still goes to the bars till 1 a.m. and you're like, man, I can't do this again this weekend. But for some reason, they just seem to survive every week, and they've got a story for you that's not over-the-top crazy, but you're okay with it. And I feel like raccoons, they're considered trash pandas, but they're still very, very out and about.
Yeah, a raccoon would be your friend that texts you on a Monday, hey, you want to go to the bars? And you're like, I'm at my 9-to-5 job, bud. And they're like, oh, you have a job, right, got it.
Yeah, my bad. Somebody says a cat. My cat knows my schedule better than I do. I feel like a koala would be a straight-up piss baby. Koalas are just always stoned or asleep. Because don't they just eat bamboo and then sleep 20 out of 24 hours a day?
Yeah, they're like the other slow animal, a sloth.
Yeah. I feel like a sloth would be a fun animal that could talk.
A turtle.
You think they talk like the ones in Nemo?
I hope.
They're just like the cliche, like, surfer stoner guy?
Yeah, dude.
Straight pitted,
How
dude.
You doing?
From the 913, my favorite show, Dusty. You guys get me through my long work day. My favorite animal is George the Animal Steel. He wasn't the smartest eating the turnbuckle after he would win a wrestling WWF old school match. I don't remember George the Steel.
I remember George the Curious. What was it?
Curious George?
Curious George, yeah.
Now the Chiefs have Furious George.
That is true.
Beavers can teach engineering. Beavers would be a smart one.
I feel like a beaver would be, like, really cool to talk to because I feel like it would, like, stutter its words, like, I'm going to go get that little...
Just super excited?
Wood. Yeah.
A Bigfoot or a Yeti? I don't know. They give me, like, dumb jock vibes.
the person that always wants to stay in high school. He's like, yeah. Hey, you remember me in high school, dude?
Class of 96, man.
Threw three touchdowns in the state championship. Yep.
That's Bigfoot right there. We'd have been exposed if they'd have put me on the cover of National Geographic. I guarantee it. Raccoons will teach you how to steal stuff.
Just watch Over the Hedge.
Yeah.
Also, one of the most underrated movies, in my opinion, Over the Hedge.
It is good. Is that the one with Steve Carell's the squirrel and drinks the Red Bull?
Yeah.
That is a good one. That is the Out of Left Field question tonight. 913-586-7610. If animals could talk, who would be the smartest? I am Dusty Likens. That is JT Noah coming back on the other side. We get into the March feels. Plus, we'll get into some audio and some stories of why maybe March is always the way it is because we just have to wait. Tom Petty once said the waiting is the hardest part. There's no doubt about it when it comes to the tournament that is every year at the end of the college basketball season. I'm Dusty Likens. That's JT Noah. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio, and this is After Hours. After Hours, updated score, Grambling State 56, Montana State 59. JT, I think we have a classic ending building up in this game.
Yeah, we do. And it's like, we're going to get off the air, and I bet there's going to be like 2 minutes left, and I'm just going to turn the volume up in here just to listen to the game and hear the final call. And I'm hoping Montana State, because I've been saying Montana State all night, so I'm just going to keep sticking to it. But Grambling is now 1 point down, so it's 59-58.
The beauties of live betting are immaculate right now. I can only imagine what it will be like tomorrow and Friday. Right now, Grambling, you can get them plus 120 on the money line as they're only down 158-59, the beauty of live betting. In the world of sports, if you want to take them as the favorite to win, -1.5. Oh no, guess who's leading now? And just like that, I am ahead of the TV, but they are.
I was about to say, I was like, how are you already knowing? Man, this TV must be behind.
DraftKings is quick, man. Grambling State now -115 to win this game on the money line, as they are now up 60-59. In this game versus Montana State with 5 minutes left in this game. As it is a one-point game. They've come all the way back from behind. Grambling State in what? Their first tournament ever, right?
Or that is correct. Yeah. First tournament ever. HBCU.
And they're they would be a, what, 16 seed? Go to play a one seed?
Yeah, they would go in and play a one seed. I believe they are in the Midwest, so they'd be playing
Houston?
Purdue.
Oh, Purdue. So your one seeds are Purdue, Houston, UConn, and
North Carolina.
Does a one seed get beat in the first round again this year?
I don't see it.
Okay. Somebody said we could have switched up the out of left field question and said who would be the dumbest animal. That's tough. I don't want to think about that. I also feel like a giraffe would be very smart. Am I wrong on that? Is that a wrong thing to think? Because I feel like a giraffe has a lot of, like, endangered species tactics kind of into it. Long legs, gallop, don't run.
Yeah.
Thin necks. But yet, here we are, still alive and just thriving.
Another smart animal that I'm thinking about it right now is an ant.
Okay.
And they have a whole family. And
they're, like, smart together.
That's what I mean. Yeah, they make the family. Yeah.
They always get A's on their group project. Speaking of which, you have kind of a predicament tomorrow. You'll be teaching social studies middle school level?
High school level.
Okay. Thursday, close to the end of the semester, right? March, you're starting to wind up towards finals.
And they're going on spring break next week.
Okay. So I've noticed that some schools start spring break on Fridays, and they go basically that Friday all the way to the next week.
So actually they go Thursday, Friday, because I'm substituting for the same person Thursday and Friday.
Okay.
So I get the same kids, which means they probably get the same thing. Yeah. Hey, you being good? Guess what? Pop on the TV. We get NCAA. We get the March Madness song, boys.
Yeah, because what? When? Okay, so 11 o'clock first game, or like 11:10-ish. What period or what hour are you in at that point in the day?
So
about third period.
I think it's actually end of third, going into fourth.
Okay.
And it works out nicely for me. So I don't know if this was the same back in high school when we were there, but fifth hour is longer. because it's lunch period.
Yeah.
And I learned that the person I'm substituting for has plan on 5th, which means I get the whole 5th lunch hour to just sit back for the 82 minutes that the plan is and just, you know, that my computer is going to have the quad box on ready to go.
Well, if I was a substitute teacher, I would leave school every day for lunch just to have that feeling. Because you could probably get by as a high school student.
Oh, yeah. I got asked.
Where are you going, kid? Excuse me. This is Mr. Noah, and I am a substitute teacher, and I will be going to, you know, wherever, to Quick Trip to get lunch.
I got a couple weeks ago, I was sitting in this room, and they're like, hey, sorry, bud. Detention's 2 doors down. I'm like, I'm a substitute. And she goes, oh, I'm so sorry, sir. I'm like,
that's hilarious. You gave off detention kid vibes?
Yes, I give off detention vibes.
That's not good.
And I was sitting in the teacher's chair, so I'm like, dang, am I that bad looking to be in detention?
I want to have a second topic about how we led the show with the March fever. Do you still get it? Like, is tomorrow still one of those days where it's like, no matter how the season went, however attention you poured into the season, do you still have that sort of itch for Thursday at 11 o'clock?
Yeah, my team went 0-19 in conference play, and I'm still itching for March Madness. Like, that's how bad it is. Like, okay, my team went 0-19. Guess what? You think I wouldn't be stressing about the tournament? Oh, I'm going to be stressing about these tournament games.
Nice.
And what a tip-in right there by Grambling State.
Yeah, they're now up 62-59, 5:29 left. They are in an 11-0 run again.
That's their second one, so they've got a combined 22-0 runs.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I do think that the reason why I think March is so great is because it reminds me, and we brought this up earlier, that it's kind of like one of those movies, or it's a TV show, or it's a book that you read that took 3/4 of the time to just kind of drag you along, bring you along the way, build up the storyline, and then the last third of that book, or the last two episodes, or the last hour of the movie, it's just banger moment after banger moment, right? And a lot of that's kind of like when I read the Game of Thrones books. Like, it would set up the storyline forever. And then the last, you know, 50, well, I guess that's a lie, the last like 150 to 100 pages, you just couldn't stop. You just kept going, going, going. And that's kind of how like March kind of brings itself upon us in college basketball, right? We go through the entire season where you're like, okay, Houston won the Big 12, North Carolina won the ACC, this team won the Big 10, and these teams are teams you should look at and, you know, think about, and these are some players that could go off. And I think that it takes one game to really get everybody back into it. And there's still a lot of people that I know of, and I've seen a text tonight, where every year they'll take work off Thursday and Friday and go into the weekend, because then it's, you know, a little bit less chaotic, because you will go to, you know, next weekend where they'll start again on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and they'll play the second round. There's also teams out there that you think that, you know, maybe they can do something with something about, you know, oh, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take this team and surprise it. And I think the other thing that has made March elevate itself, like if you were to do anything, like elevate food, right? Elevate a situation. March has elevated itself, and I know it was just a short year ago, but maybe we are lost in the moment. But last year, the March Madness tournament was nuts. It was insane. There were high seeds beating, you know, there were low seeds beating high seeds. Like, there were 15s winning. There were ones losing. God, please, if Purdue could lose again, I would love it.
Please don't.
Why?
I want another one seed to lose. It'd be kind of funny. Wouldn't it be the funniest thing to see UConn? Everyone's picking UConn to win. Then they lose in the first round to Stetson, who's also in their first ever NCAA tournament.
Yeah. I mean, it's just because we've had 2 1 seeds lose in the history of March. And man, your boys from Montana State.
Just stop it. I just fell to the ground.
To get bounced, dude. But if you want to live bet Montana State right now, that'd be the bet to do. But again, I think the best thing about March is that it's one, or college basketball at this point, is that it's one of the true sports where nostalgia kind of takes over for everyone, because you've either won a bracket pool, you've either had a team that's won the entire thing, or you just always had a time in your life where when the tournament started, you put yourself in a situation where it is, oh yeah, my buddies and I, every year when the March Madness tournament starts, we go to Kelly's in Westport and we watch the first couple rounds of games, and then we go home, and then Friday, you know, we have people over or whatever it may be. And I know that tomorrow, Josh Verner will be on the air from 6 p.m. until 9 p.m. You will get a Vern's Hot Stove Extended Show season preview. So I won't be here. So I know that I got lucky enough to where it just fell into my hands where it's like, hey, I've got to work at my other job tomorrow until about 2, 2:30. And then I've got the rest of the day to watch basketball. I'll miss the first four games of the session, but I will watch all of the afternoon. I will watch all of the night session, and I'll watch the KU game. It starts at 8:55 allegedly, but I don't think it's going to start until like 9:15. And I must ask, is Hunter Dickinson calling out a teammate that didn't play in this tournament because of injury?
Hunter, everybody's been wondering, how does your shoulder feel? Are you practicing with any pain? And what percentage would you say you are?
The shoulder feels good. Good enough to be out there with my teammates. I feel like everybody's dealing with a little injury nowadays, especially towards the end of the season. And so, I feel good and ready to get out there with my teammates.
Really, for both you guys, Vahe Gregorian from the Kansas City Star, just from a morale standpoint, how much had you anticipated Kevin would be able to play, and what's the process been like to try to say, okay, we're moving on and we'll be ready anyway? How has that been?
I think we were obviously all, hoping he'd play because, he's, one of the best players, not just on our team, but in the country. But we've seen the amount of work that he's put in to try to get back, especially me personally, because I was rehabbing my shoulder and my knees and my hips and stuff like that. So I was in the training room with him, and he's been doing, 2 to 3 sessions every day for the past like 2 months. And so, it's not his fault by any means. It just wasn't feeling right. I was with him when he was trying it out, and, he's just going through a lot of pain. Wish the best for him. Hope that, he can get back as soon as possible. But, I feel like we got a good group of guys that are going to try to rally around him and try to win a couple games here for him.
Can we make an assumption right now? Sanford's beating KU tomorrow. And that will lead the drive at 2 o'clock because you have a KU alum that produces / co-hosts, and you have a Missouri fanatic that is the host of that show. And this just seems like KU is just not either into it. Injuries are too much. Hunter Dickinson, yeah, I'm going to play through injuries. I'm going to do whatever I can to play for my teammates. And then backsided compliment of, yeah, he's trying really hard to get out there. Just didn't work out. But we can go ahead and think right now for all the Mizzou fans that love to see this and the KU fans that hate to see it. Do you think KU has do you think they make it to the second game of the weekend?
I would say this. I will guarantee you this. I don't see them making it to the next weekend. I can see them winning tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see them getting past the first weekend.
Which if they won tomorrow night, which their game tips off at 8:55, but if they won tomorrow night, their next game could be what? Gonzaga
or McNeese. And McNeese is one of only two teams in the whole nation to have 30 wins.
Who's your national championship winner in your bracket?
Oh, I've made two brackets.
Okay.
One has UConn. Mm-hmm. The other has a sleeper. And I've been told it's a sketchy sleeper, but I've got Crane.
Okay.
The 3 seed at Crane. The problem with Crane, though, is there has been no team in NCAA history to lose their first game in conference tournament to win the national championship. I had never heard that until I started making my brackets. I was like, that is an insane stat.
That is interesting. Coming up on the other side, Caleb Williams threw today. There were people that watched it. Pat McAfee had a take on Caleb Williams as well. Also, the offseason for the Kansas City Chiefs that got brought up on our girls' show up in Adams, Kay Adams, and she had a guess.
What a shot!
And it's 67-67 at 2:44 in this game versus Grambling in Montana. We'll keep you updated as we continue. This show is over at 8 o'clock. Coming up on the other side, though, offseason and preseason and draft season, all in one topic. This is After Hours on 610 Sports Radio. Pretty cool message here from the text line from the 620. Dusty, I got to tell you got a shout out during my interview today. Okay. They asked what I like to do with my free time, and I had to mention you and the boys at 610. Love listening to you, and hopefully it brings me luck. Brooke C. Well, best of luck. I know job interviews are always a stressful time, but hopefully you can, you know, wouldn't that be something special? All of a sudden, they're like, yeah, we're going to hire you. And the reason why is because we also like After Hours with Dusty Likens, so we can trust your opinion on stuff. We are in that season again, unfortunately, where guys either participate or don't in pro days or throwing drills or whatever it might be. And right now there is no secret. The most popular player that has yet to play an NFL game right now is Caleb Williams. And we've seen throws today where he threw deep balls. And this is something that got Zach Wilson drafted because he made the Mahomes type play in the combine or whatever the pro day that he was at. And Pat McAfee had this about Caleb Williams teammates and people showing up because Keenan Allen showed up to Caleb Williams pro day today as well.
There's Lincoln Riley. Good dap up.
Uh-oh, didn't shake Flus's hand.
Flus meandered.
Flus in the back.
There's Paul.
There's dap up Paul's.
Okay, there we go.
Good with Flus. I mean, that was a good clean dap up with him. Hey, what's going on?
Where's everybody else?
All right, we're going to try to FaceTime Lewis Riddick, who's boots on the ground for this. What's everybody's thoughts and expectations as we are watching along a couple thousand miles away? Take me to the king, says old buddy with a camera in the back there. Teammates, boys, good work today. Good work today. You guys are moving sleds over there. Good work today, boys.
Crushing.
Everybody dapping them up, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
This was the conversation at the combine. When he talked to equipment managers, when he talked to athletic trainers, when he talked to his teammates, they liked him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you can tell.
Yeah, that means a lot more. You know, like
that
means
a lot more.
There's offense. Boom. A lot more.
Right there.
Yeah.
Love that. This guy's being drafted.
Yeah, we like that.
Who cares about the throws?
We enjoy that.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a big deal right there. That's his offensive line.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we got a day.
Oh, yeah.
That was sweet.
Right.
Connor.
This is the biggest part of this entire thing.
That matters right there. That matters. Not just
they
one
all went
teammate.
To his birthday
not just two teammates. Damn near the whole team.
Well, in different position groups, too.
Yeah.
I think I saw him with the D-line there a little bit. Offensive line a little bit. Wide receivers obviously coming through.
That's a big son of a right there.
I don't know who, what department that is. We didn't tell Lewis we were calling him. He's in the middle of watching, like, hey, you know what I liked most? He's probably going to say, anybody that's been around the game is going to say something that we just said in real time.
And that was Pat McAfee's show today. And that's the sort of thing that we over-evaluate, I think, when it comes to the off-season sort of stuff is, oh, did a guy throw? Oh, did this guy do this? By the way, 72-72, 15 seconds left in Grambling State and Montana State, which has just been your typical cliche March game. Also, this was on Kay Adams' show today about the off-season moves that the Kansas City Chiefs have made.
We have to deliver this awful blow to the people right now. And, you know, to the 31 teams that have all this optimism and hope, it's what March and April and May and June and July are all about. And we got to say, like, the clear winner, slam dunk, unquestionably, of all of free agency is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah. It's bleak in that AFC West outside of Kansas City right now.
It's kind of
with the way this offseason's unfolded.
It's kind of a balloon popper, you know? It's kind of like it takes the air out of the room sort of thing. But it's so true. And then you look at the division as a whole, and we're going to dig into it. So thanks, Hammer, for all the research you did on this. But we were, like, sort of laughing at the comedy of errors. That right now, of course, there's still optimism. The draft is ahead. Things can happen. But, I mean, you look at what could have happened to Casey with 31 teams were manifesting with some sort of Ouija board thing in their basements the past couple of months to happen to these champions. How can we take them out? Like, well, Chris Jones will go away. They won't be able to re-sign him. Snead is going to hit free agency. They're not going to be able to bring back Tranquil, all this. But Brett Veach, as always, in his bag, finds a way to bring 95 back in the folds. Tags Snead, adds Marquise Brown, low-risk situation. Now, of course, Snead could still end up getting moved here, but the Chiefs won't end up empty-handed no matter what they do there. The only thing left to figure out is the left tackle spot with Donovan Smith still sitting out there on the market. But other than that, Kansas City is basically running it back again across the board as they chase a three-peat. There's Chase in the three-peat, and it looks like it's a walk for them, at least in their division, at least now.
Kay Adams doing the Lord's work, telling you all that the division has already been flipped over and going back towards the favorite side of the Kansas City Chiefs. Do we keep it here and let the people know? It's 72-72. There's 6 seconds left. This is the preview. This is the prelims of March Madness, and it's a 72-72 Grambling State.
And Grambling State has the ball.
They have the ball. 6 seconds left. The score is 72-72. You could currently on DraftKings right now take Grambling -166, Montana State now +130.
Well, I mean, you gotta go for the last shot here if you're Grambling.
Of course.
I mean, you aren't letting... I thought Montana State went a little early there. I know they had the shot clock, but I thought they went a couple seconds early. Grambling State did great there by using a timeout right after they got the rebound. Now you set up your offense. You have 6 seconds, which every analysis that I listen to is like, okay, 6 seconds means you have at least 5 bounces before you have to shoot the ball. So we'll see.
I doubt you have that.
I don't think so. I think you have 4.
Okay. We will tell you what happens. We will not give you a live play-by-play because we are not legal to do that. But it is 72-72. There is 6 seconds left of the second day of the play-in games as it is Grambling State versus Montana State. Both teams playing in their first ever, or not their first ever, both teams looking for their first ever win in the March Madness tournament. They put up the shot. It is banked off the back iron. There will be overtime in this game between Grambling and Montana State.
I'll tell you this. I don't think Rob,
mm-hmm.
the producer for obviously The Drive, I don't think he's happy, but he mm-hmm. might be a little worried. He had Grambling State, I think it was +3.5 mm-hmm. or -3.5, I should say. They were underdogs. And I think
so
now.
+3.5.
Yeah, +3.5, my bad. And I think he's now worried because now they're in overtime and you could lose that 3.5.
That +3.5.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he just wants Montana to win by 2.
Well, I know, but I mean, you're not worried because you could have won right there and you would have been all right.
End of regulation in that game of the second day of play-in games. Grambling State 72, Montana State 72. You can get Grambling State live in Kansas on DraftKings at now at +100. You're listening to After Hours. We'll wrap this show up. Yes, I said wrap it up. It is only 8 o'clock, but you'll get the Royals starting at 8:05. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio, and you're also listening to After Hours. Here on After Hours, Dusty Likens, JT with you for about another 5 to 7 minutes. 76-73, Montana State fighting for their tournament lives, who are leading this game at one point by 12. And then two different 11-0 runs by Grambling State in the second half, 3:56 left in overtime, as this game is officially in overtime.
Yeah, actually, the largest lead Montana State had was 14.
Hate to see it. Of the bizarre stories that we get every day in sports, one that had broke today and will continue to give more information throughout, Shohei Ohtani, his, what I would assume, good friend, trusted colleague, his interpreter, in baseball, has allegedly, and this is according to the LA Times, Shohei Ohtani has now fired his interpreter because he is accused of stealing millions of dollars from the LA Dodgers star in order to make bets with an alleged illegal bookmaker. There is a beautiful thing about the capabilities of being able to bet and not bet. And this is one thing that I think a lot of people, when they go back, and again, more information will be probably brought up and brought out to the world the more days we go throughout. But what we know as of now is that he has been fired. It's been the guy that was with him in Anaheim or Los Angeles and then went over to the Dodgers with him. And the thing that's interesting is that there's always this desire, I think, for everybody. Like, I'm not going to lie to you, JT. When I get to this station, if I have time after putting everything together and locking everything up for the show, I will tend to go to my Score mobile app, look at some games that are going to be played that evening, and I'll put a little wager on it because I know that I have the capability and the legality to do that in the state of Kansas. And I think the same thing goes for whether people make $1 billion or if people make $500. You have the availability in your hand. The only problem is you have to know which side of the line in the sand you stand on. If you're able to do it, fair enough. If you're not and you are in a sports world where it is illegal to do it, you can't do it. But there's a fine line that we will continue to see throughout the history of sports and the history of gambling on sports and the legalness of it. And stories like this will continue to happen. It is wild and bizarre that now we have a Ohtani-aholic sort of story, right? Illegal gambling, taking money. What is Ohtani's role in this? He has fired him. He has come out immediately. Pretty cool message here from the text line from the 620. Dusty, I got to tell you, you got a shout out during my interview today.
Okay.
They asked what I like to do with my free time, and I had to mention you and the boys at 610. Love listening to you, and hopefully it brings me luck. Brooke C. Well, best of luck. I know job interviews are always a stressful time, but hopefully you can, you know, wouldn't that be something special? All of a sudden, they're like, yeah, we're going to hire you. And the reason why is because we also like After Hours with Dusty Likens, so we can trust your opinion on stuff. We are in that season again, unfortunately, where guys either participate or don't in pro days or throwing drills or whatever it might be. And right now, there is no secret. The most popular player that has yet to play an NFL game right now is Caleb Williams. And we've seen throws today where he threw deep balls. And this is something that got Zach Wilson drafted because he made the Mahomes-type play in the combine or whatever the pro day that he was at. And Pat McAfee had this about Caleb Williams' teammates and people showing up because Keenan Allen showed up to Caleb Williams' pro day today as well.
There's Lincoln Riley. Good dap up.
Uh-oh, didn't shake Flus's hand.
Flus meandered.
Flus in the back.
There's Paul.
There's dap up Paul's.
Okay, there we go.
Good with Flus. I mean, that was a good clean dap up with him. Hey, what's going on?
Where's everybody else?
All right, we're going to try to FaceTime Lewis Riddick, who's boots on the ground for this. What's everybody's thoughts and expectations as we are watching along a couple thousand miles away? Take me to the king, says old buddy with a camera in the back there. Teammates, boys, good work today. Good work today. You guys are moving sleds over there. Good work today, boys.
Crushing.
Everybody dapping them up, by the way.
Yeah.
This was the conversation at the combine. When he talked to equipment managers, when he talked to athletic trainers, and he talked to his teammates, they liked him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you
that,
can tell.
Yeah, that means a lot more. You know, like
that
means
a lot more.
There's offensive line.
Right there.
Love that. Guys being drafted.
Yeah, we like that.
Who cares about the throws?
We enjoy that.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a big deal right there. That's his offensive line.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we got a day.
Oh, yeah.
That was sweet.
Right. Connor.
This is the biggest part of this entire thing.
That matters right there. That matters. Not just they one all went teammate. To his birthday party. Not just two teammates. Damn near the whole team.
Well, in different position groups, too. Yeah. I think I saw him with the D-line there a little bit. Offensive line a little bit. Wide receivers obviously coming through.
That's a big son of a right there.
I don't know who, what department that is. We didn't tell Lewis we were calling him. He's in the middle of watching, like, hey, you know what I liked most? He's probably going to say, anybody that's been around the game is going to say something that we just said in real time.
And that was Pat McAfee's show today. And that's the sort of thing that we over-evaluate, I think, when it comes to the off-season sort of stuff is, oh, did a guy throw? Oh, did this guy do this? By the way, 72-72, 15 seconds left in Grambling State and Montana State, which has just been your typical cliche March game. Also, this was on Kay Adams' show today about the off-season moves that the Kansas City Chiefs have made.
We have to deliver this awful blow to the people right now. And, you know, to the 31 teams that have all this optimism and hope, it's what March and April and May and June and July are all about. And we got to say, like, the clear winner, slam dunk, unquestionably, of all of free agency is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
It's bleak in that AFC West outside of Kansas City right now.
It's kind of
with the way this offseason's unfolded.
It's kind of a balloon popper, you know? It's kind of like a, it's a takes the air out of the room sort of thing. But it's so true. And then you look at the division as a whole, and we're going to dig into it. So thanks, Hammer, for all the research you did on this. But we were like sort of laughing at the comedy of errors that right now, of course, there's still optimism. The draft is ahead. Things can happen. But, I mean, you look at what could have happened to Casey with 31 teams were manifesting with some sort of Ouija board thing in their basements the past couple of months to happen to these champions. How can we take them out? Like, well, Chris Jones will go away. They won't be able to re-sign him. Snead is going to hit free agency. They're not going to be able to bring back Tranquil, all this. But Brett Veach, as always, in his bag, finds a way to bring 95 back in the folds. It tags Snead, adds Marquise Brown, low-risk situation. Now, of course, Snead could still end up getting moved here, but the Chiefs won't end up empty-handed no matter what they do there. The only thing left to figure out is the left tackle spot with Donovan Smith still sitting out there on the market. But other than that, Kansas City is basically running it back again across the board as they chase a three-peat. They're chasing the three-peat, and it looks like it's a walk for them, at least in their division, at least now.
Kay Adams doing the Lord's work, telling you all that the division has already been flipped over and going back towards the favorite side of the Kansas City Chiefs. Do we keep it here and let the people know? It's 72-72. There's 6 seconds left. This is the preview. This is the prelims of March Madness, and it's a 72-72 Grambling State.
And Grambling State has the ball.
They have the ball. 6 seconds left. The score is 72-72. You could currently on DraftKings right now take Grambling minus 166, Montana State now plus 130.
Well, I mean, you gotta go for the last shot here if you're Grambling.
Of course.
I mean, you aren't letting... I thought Montana State went a little early there. I know they had the shot clock, but I thought they went a couple seconds early. Grambling State did great there by using a timeout right after they got the rebound. Now you set up your offense. You have 6 seconds, which every analysis that I listen to is like, okay, 6 seconds means you have at least 5 bounces before you have to shoot the ball. So we'll see.
I doubt you have that.
I don't think so. I think you have 4.
Okay. We will tell you what happens. We will not give you a live play-by-play because we are not legal to do that. But it is 72-72. There is 6 seconds left of the second day of the play-in games as it is Grambling State versus Montana State. Both teams playing in their first ever, or not their first ever, both teams looking for their first ever win in the March Madness tournament. They put up the shot. It is banked off the back iron. There will be overtime in this game between Grambling and Montana State.
I'll tell you this. I don't think Rob, the producer for obviously The Drive, I don't think he's happy, but he might be a little worried. He had Grambling State, I think it was plus three and a half, or minus 3.5, I should say. They were underdogs. And I think
so
now.
Plus 3.5.
Yeah, plus 3.5, my bad. And I think he's now worried because now they're in overtime and you could lose that 3.5.
That plus 3.5.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he just wants Montana to win by 2.
Well, I know, but I mean, you're not worried because you could have won right there and you would have been all right.
End of regulation in that game of the second day of play-in games. Grambling State 72, Montana State 72. You can get Grambling State live in Kansas on DraftKings at now at plus 100. You're listening to After Hours. We'll wrap this show up. Yes, I said wrap it up. It is only 8 o'clock, but you'll get the Royals starting at 8:05. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio, and you're also listening to After Hours. Here on After Hours, Dusty Likens, JT with you for about another 5 to 7 minutes. 76-73, Montana State fighting for their tournament lives, who are leading this game at one point by 12. And then two different 11-0 runs by Grambling State in the second half, 3:56 left in overtime as this game is officially in overtime.
Yeah, actually, the largest lead Montana State had was 14.
Hate to see it. Of the bizarre stories that we get every day in sports, one that had broke today and will continue to give more information throughout, Shohei Ohtani, his, what I would assume, good friend, trusted colleague, his interpreter in baseball, has allegedly, and this is according to the LA Times, Shohei Ohtani has now fired his interpreter because he is accused of stealing millions of dollars from the LA Dodgers star in order to make bets with an alleged illegal bookmaker. There is a beautiful thing about the capabilities of being able to bet and not bet. And this is one thing that I think a lot of people, when they go back, and again, more information will be probably brought up and brought out to the world the more days we go throughout. But what we know as of now is that he has been fired. It's been the guy that was with him in Anaheim or Los Angeles and then went over to the Dodgers with him. And the thing that's interesting is that there's always this desire, I think, for everybody. Like, I'm not going to lie to you, JT. When I get to this station, if I have time after putting everything together and locking everything up for the show, I will tend to go to my Score mobile app, look at some games that are going to be played that evening, and I'll put a little wager on it because I know that I have the capability and the legality to do that in the state of Kansas. And I think the same thing goes for whether people make $1 billion or if people make $500. You have the availability in your hand. The only problem is you have to know which side of the line in the sand you stand on. If you're able to do it, fair enough. If you're not and you are in a sports world where it is illegal to do it, you can't do it. But there's a fine line that we will continue to see throughout the history of sports and the history of gambling on sports and the legalness of it. And stories like this will continue to happen. It is wild and bizarre that now we have a Ohtani-aholic sort of story, right? Illegal gambling, taking money. What is Ohtani's role in this? He has fired him. He has come out immediately and said, I don't know what's going on. We just know that right now that my attorney has told me that we have fired our interpreter and we are going to move forward and get more information as it goes on. That is one issue that we have when it comes to this sort of thing in the world of sports betting, that you are going to run into these stories. You remember not too long ago, there was Calvin Ridley, right? He was gambling on sports, got suspended for a year. Update on the game, 78-75, Grambling State in overtime with 2 minutes and 10 seconds left to go. Coming up next will be Colorado Boise State. As March continues to come through the realms of sports, as tomorrow's the big day, as Montana State giving you the updates as much as I can. 156 left, tie game, 78-78. Praise be to the people that bet the over on this, but praise be to all of those
Montana
who have
brackets. Montana State shoots the three, and they just keep shooting it.
Well, that's what a team like Montana State's always going to do. Teams that have the name Montana State or McNeese State, you know they've got two guys with piss and vinegar in their veins that will just hit threes. Like, what's the kid's name? Is it Cole Kinect? Is that the kid from Tennessee?
Yeah, Kinect, yeah.
You know he's going to have, like, so many over-under prop bets hit on threes made. Like, I don't know when Tennessee plays, but I guarantee you if it's Friday night, I will bet a wager on his over, under in points and 3 points made.
And that's, and if you're a Kansas fan, that's what you're worried about, because Samford is the eighth best 3-point shooting team, and Kansas is the second worst.
Right.
So it's a bad matchup. And then you add the injuries, it's a recipe that people are worried about.
KU right now is 7.5-point favorite. I would take Samford. I would take the +7.5. That's just me. Tennessee plays Thursday at 8 o'clock at night against St. Peter's. They are a 21.5-point favorite. I would take Cole Kinect threes.
Yeah. Be wary of St. Peter's, though.
Yeah. But again, not picking a wager on the winner. That's a 2-15 matchup.
And St. Peter's has won a 2-15 matchup before.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Kentucky.
Nice.
Yeah, the Peacocks. They also beat Purdue.
I also love March because I love Gus Johnson, and I love the excitement that the announcers bring to these games. Like, obviously, I can't hear anything right now, but I'm sure there's an announcer going nuts during this game. 1:18 left, Grambling State up 80-78. They currently have the ball. going for their first victory ever in the tournament. So is Montana State. So the storylines are rich, flowing, and then you will get more games tonight for another play-in game. But tomorrow, man, one of the best moments in sports. I think that's one thing that we can all agree upon is this game is slowly but surely getting out of the reach of Montana State, 82-78 now. Grambling State leads with 52 seconds left. For those of you driving around that are interested in this game or put a wager on this game, or maybe you went to Andy's and got the family a little, you know, James Brown jackhammer, and you got some time to do a live bet, I can tell you right now, Grambling State probably going to win this game.
They're
going to
win. And 82-78
is the score with 35 seconds left. They came all the way back and won in overtime, or they will probably win in overtime. But the greatest day, or one of the greatest days in sports, and one of the starts of the new season, begin tomorrow. I assume that a lot of you will enjoy that. I assume a lot of you, your ink has dried on your bracket, or it will by the tomorrow morning. Shout out to everyone who did the out of left field question. Shout out to Carrington Harrison and for the great job he did covering the stadium news today. I know there is going to be a press conference tomorrow at 11 o'clock regarding what more plans they have for the city and for the stadiums and the teams, taxes, jobs, all that. You want to stay tuned in to 610 Sports Radio. Stay tuned in too. If you're driving around doing your thing, you'll get Royals baseball starting in about 11, or I guess about 9 minutes. And programming note tomorrow night, no after hours. Joshua Vernier will have you from 6 o'clock until 9 o'clock. I'll be back Friday night. We'll do Richard of the Week. We'll have Jay Binkley on at 6:30. We'll do the out of left field question and set you up for the weekend and keep you updated, as always, on the March tournament excitement. I'm Dusty Likens. That's JT Noah. As I say every single night, go do nice things for people. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. It can be a mundane task. It can change their day, week, month, or year. You never know, because it's just cool to care. Stay nice and stay safe, Kansas City. Enjoy your brackets tomorrow. I love you, KC. Good night. Here on After Hours, Dusty Likens, JT with you for about another 5 to 7 minutes. 76-73, Montana State fighting for their tournament lives, who are leading this game at one point by 12. And then two different 11-0 runs by Grambling State in the second half, 3:56 left in overtime, as this game is officially in overtime.
Yeah, actually, the largest lead Montana State had was 14.
Hate to see it. Of the bizarre stories that we get every day in sports, one that had broke today and will continue to give more information throughout, Shohei Ohtani, his, what I would assume, good friend, trusted colleague, his interpreter, in baseball, has allegedly, and this is according to the LA Times, Shohei Ohtani has now fired his interpreter because he is accused of stealing millions of dollars from the LA Dodgers star in order to make bets with an alleged illegal bookmaker. There is a beautiful thing about the capabilities of being able to bet and not bet. And this is one thing that I think a lot of people, when they go back, and again, more information will be probably brought up and brought out to the world the more days we go throughout. But what we know as of now is that he has been fired. It's been the guy that was with him in Anaheim or Los Angeles and then went over to the Dodgers with him. And the thing that's interesting is that there's always this desire, I think, for everybody. Like, I'm not going to lie to you, JT. When I get to this station, if I have time after putting everything together and locking everything up for the show, I will tend to go to my Score mobile app, look at some games that are going to be played that evening, and I'll put a little wager on it because I know that I have the capability and the legality to do that in the state of Kansas. And I think the same thing goes for whether people make $1 billion or if people make $500. You have the availability in your hand. The only problem is you have to know which side of the line in the sand you stand on. If you're able to do it, fair enough. If you're not and you are in a sports world where it is illegal to do it, you can't do it. But there's a fine line that we will continue to see throughout the history of sports and the history of gambling on sports and the legalness of it. And stories like this will continue to happen. It is wild and bizarre that now we have a Ohtani-aholic sort of story, right? Illegal gambling, taking money. What is Ohtani's role in this? He has fired him. He has come out immediately and said, I don't know what's going on. We just know that right now that my attorney has told me that we have fired our interpreter and we are going to move forward and get more information as it goes on. That is one issue that we have when it comes to this sort of thing in the world of sports betting, that you are going to run into these stories. You remember not too long ago, there was Calvin Ridley, right? He was gambling on sports, got suspended for a year. Update on the game, 78-75, Grambling State in overtime with 2 minutes and 10 seconds left to go. Coming up next will be Colorado Boise State as March continues to come through the realms of sports, as tomorrow's the big day, as Montana State, giving you the updates as much as I can. 156 left, tie game, 78-78. Praise be to the people that bet the over on this, but praise be to all of those
Montana
who have
brackets. Montana State shoots the three, and they just keep shooting it.
Well, that's what a team like Montana State's always going to do. Teams that have the name Montana State or McNeese State, you know they've got two guys with piss and vinegar in their veins that will just hit threes. Like, what's the kid's name? Is it Cole Kinect? Is that the kid from Tennessee?
Yeah, Kinect, yeah.
You know he's going to have, like, so many over-under prop bets hit on threes made. Like, I don't know when Tennessee plays, but I guarantee you if it's Friday night, I will bet a wager on his over-under in points and 3 points made.
And that's, and if you're a Kansas fan, that's what you're worried about, because Samford is the eighth best three-point shooting team, and Kansas is the second worst.
Right.
So it's a bad matchup. And then you add the injuries. It's a recipe that people are worried about.
KU right now is 7.5-point favorite. I would take Samford. I would take the +7.5. That's just me. Tennessee plays Thursday at 8 o'clock at night against St. Peter's. They are a 21.5-point favorite. I would take Cole Kinect threes.
Yeah. Be wary of St. Peter's, though.
Yeah. But again, not picking a wager on the winner. That's a 2-15 matchup.
And St. Peter's has won a 2-15 matchup before.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Kentucky.
Nice.
Yeah, the Peacocks. They also beat Purdue.
I also love March because I love Gus Johnson, and I love the excitement that the announcers bring to these games. Like, obviously, I can't hear anything right now, but I'm sure there's an announcer going nuts during this game. 1:18 left, Grambling State up 80-78. They currently have the ball. Going for their first victory ever in the tournament. So is Montana State. So the storylines are rich, flowing, and then you will get more games tonight for another play-in game. But tomorrow, man, one of the best moments in sports. I think that's one thing that we can all agree upon is this game is slowly but surely getting out of the reach of Montana State, 82-78 now. Grambling State leads with 52 seconds left. For those of you driving around that are interested in this game or put a wager on this game, or maybe you went to Andy's and got the family a little, you know, James Brown jackhammer, and you got some time to do a live bet, I can tell you right now, Grambling State probably going to win this game.
They're
going to
win.
82-78 is the score with 35 seconds left. They came all the way back and won in overtime, or they will probably win in overtime. But the greatest day, or one of the greatest days in sports, and one of the starts of the new season begin tomorrow. I assume that a lot of you will enjoy that. I assume a lot of you, your ink has dried on your bracket, or it will by the tomorrow morning. Shout out to everyone who did the out of left field question. Shout out to Carrington Harrison for the great job he did covering the stadium news today. I know there is going to be a press conference tomorrow at 11 o'clock regarding what more plans they have for the city and for the stadiums and the teams, taxes, jobs, all that. You want to stay tuned in to 610 Sports Radio. Stay tuned in too. If you're driving around doing your thing, you'll get Royals baseball starting in about 11, or I guess about 9 minutes. And programming note tomorrow night, no after hours. Joshua Vernier will have you from 6 o'clock until 9 o'clock. I'll be back Friday night We'll do Richard of the Week. We'll have Jay Binkley on at 6:30. We'll do the out of left field question and set you up for the weekend and keep you updated, as always, on the March tournament excitement. I'm Dusty Likens. That's JT Noah. As I say every single night, go do nice things for people. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. It can be a mundane task. It can change their day, week, month, or year. You never know, because it's just cool to care. Stay nice and stay safe, Kansas City. Enjoy your brackets tomorrow. I love you, KC. Good night.